Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. As we've been going through this wonderful book of the Word of God, understanding that the book of Ephesians carries with the idea that we're giving glory to God by the church. And one of the greatest ways that God gets glory by the church is when there's unity. Remember, the book of Ephesians was written for the purpose of trying to install, encourage, and keep unity within the local church. And that is, each local church is made up of saved and baptized believers, but still sinners saved by grace, that the only way that we can stay going in the same direction, the same heart, the same thing, is if we have the same goal, and the goal is God. And as we've been hitting Ephesians chapter 4, we've now turned a corner and hit more of a practicality, that when we deal with keeping unity, that there are some things that we ourselves can do to help keep unity. But one of them is, as we explored this morning, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, that we need to watch what we say and how we say it. We all know that our words can hurt people, and our words can cut, and our words can damage relationships, and that we have to carry the relationship and the words that we say very well. We have to keep looking to the Lord, and there are certain things we ought to do. Well, the Bible continues in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, still carrying some practicalities that how can we keep and have unity within the church ourselves. And the next subject is probably the most important subject that every Christian has to deal with, and it's not just something that we might, maybe one day, it's something that we have to continually watch out for within our own lives. If you don't mind, look with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and notice with me, starting at verse number 31. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 31, the Word of God says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And if you're in the habit of marking things in the Bible, would you mark two phrases, one that's found in verse 31 and one that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Notice the phrase bitterness in verse 31, and then notice the phrase in verse 32, forgiving one another. And I want to introduce this by explaining that bitterness stems from unforgiveness. And so we're going to explore this subject of bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to be in your house today. And as we explore this subject, I'm asking that you would give us much grace, that you would give us understanding, that you would open up our eyes in a very special way in dealing with this subject of bitterness and forgiveness, that we could understand it in our own lives, understand where it comes from, understand how to deal with it biblically, so that way it would not poison our life, so that way it does not hinder our walk with you. Lord, even now I'm asking in a special way that you would relate this and make this a very clear message. Again, I don't dare trust my own, Lord. I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you get your own work accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. As we cover the subject of bitterness and unforgiveness, one of the things that bitterness is, it is a slow-working poison that destroys its own container. And so what I've done is to try to illustrate and show you poison. I brought some. And we also understand that whenever we deal with poisons or something like that, you always want to make sure that you that you keep yourself safe, protection. I brought my old lab coat and gloves because I don't want to ruin the suit that I have. I want to be very careful with the poison that we're going to deal with. But it's always good to kind of illustrate and to kind of see what's going on. That poison or bitterness is a type of poison that not only is it dangerous to others, but it destroys its own container. It's a very powerful type poison. So what I've done is I've brought an example of poison. Inside of a container, of course, we've got it sealed. We want to make sure that it doesn't get loose. But you understand that poison is something that's dangerous. Poison is something that is corrosive. Poison is something that you don't want on you. You don't want in you because it can destroy you. It could hurt you in bad ways. That's why they have warning labels on things that it's poison, poison. Stay away. Be careful. You know, if you saw something that said, hey, this is poison, it's not something you grab and say, you know what? I'm going to go take a bath with this. I'm going to put it all over. And it's something you stay away from. If you see something that says poison, it says do not ingest. It's not something that you open up and say, hey, you know what? I'll just take a little bit of this. Poison is something that we recognize when we see warnings, when we see things on it. Something to stay away. Something that we say, don't touch. Don't allow in your life. Don't put in there. Well, as we cover the idea of bitterness, bitterness is a poison. And it's a dangerous type of poison that it will actually destroy the container that it's held within. That bitterness, if you set some bitterness inside of a container, it will actually eat away at the container. It will destroy that container and make that container where it's useless, where it can't hold anything else, where it can't do anything else. Bitterness inside of your life will destroy you from the inside out. It is one of the most dangerous types of poison there is. And it's something that you need to say, danger, danger, do not touch, don't ingest to get out. It is something that you don't want in your life. It is a very destructive poison. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take the Word of God. I'll just set this here for now. Take the Word of God, and I want to explore this idea of bitterness and unforgiveness. Let's look at this type of poison that will actually destroy its own container. If you don't mind, the very first thing I'd like to show you is that bitterness is progressive. That bitterness is progressive. What that means is that there is a spiritual progression that comes with bitterness, and it actually starts from a point, and if it's left untended, it will grow worse and worse and worse. So we understand that bitterness is progressive. We got to start at the very root. Where does bitterness come from? Bitterness comes from unforgiveness. What does this mean? That means that whenever you come to the place where someone has offended you, where someone has hurt you, someone has maligned you, it doesn't matter what they did, you yourself must forgive them. Actively and purposely, not something that you say, well, you know, I'll deal with later. You have to actively and purposely forgive them. Because if you do not, that unforgiveness left unchecked will turn into bitterness. That bitterness, like I said, is a slow working poison that will destroy your own container. How do you know that you have bitterness? Well, bitterness is a type of poison that it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. In fact, it actually does that when you hear someone's name. Let's just say that someone has done you wrong. And if you have bitterness in your mouth or bitterness in your life, that when you hear that person's name, when you hear that situation brought up, it's like a bad taste in your mouth. It's just something that's foul to you, something that you know you don't... You have bitterness. It does something inside of you that you have a reaction to it just by hearing that person's name, by hearing that situation. That's that bitterness. It does something inside. Now, if you refuse to take care of the bitterness, if you don't deal with that bitterness early on, remember that bitterness is progressive. Notice what will happen to it. And verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath. If you don't take care of bitterness, bitterness will turn to wrath. wrath. What is wrath? Wrath carries the idea of a heated inside of you. If we were to use a visual illustration, it's like if we had a mattress and the inside of the mattress caught fire. Now, you can't see the flames yet, but you could feel the heat of it. That bitterness, it carries the idea of a slow-working poison. If it's not taken care of, when you hear that person's name or you hear the situation, you start to feel a heat inside of you. That no one else can see it, but inside of you, you feel that temperature rise. Just at the mention of their name, just the mention of that situation is enough to feel that temperature rise inside of you. Now, you may be able to keep it contained within your container, meaning that you won't let it show on your face, you won't let it show in your movements, but inside of you, you can feel that temperature rise. Just the mention of the name is enough for that flame to turn on inside of you. Now, as I said, that bitterness is progressive, that it stems from unforgiveness. If it is not dealt with from unforgiveness, it will turn from unforgiveness to bitterness. If it's not dealt with, bitterness will turn to wrath. If wrath is not dealt with, notice with me in verse 31 again, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Anger carries the idea of a heat that's shown on the outside. Remember our mattress? That wrath carried the idea that the flame was inside of the mattress. Anger now comes to the place where the flame is showing on the outside. How does that portray? Well, when you have bitterness or unforgiveness, it's turned to bitterness, it's turned to wrath, that turns to anger, that when you hear that person's name mentioned, whenever you hear that situation, it shows on your face. Your face automatically turns and snarls, that it's almost an involuntary reaction, that as soon as you hear that, you have your face, your countenance changes. You could be having the most wonderful day, and they say that name, and immediately, it changes everything. That's what that bitterness does. That bitterness will turn to wrath. Wrath will turn to anger. And it will get to the place where just the mention of that name is enough to have your whole countenance change. And everyone else can see that that person bothers you. That situation is something that hurts you still. You bring it up and your face and your countenance immediately changes. That's wrath. Bitterness is progressive. It turns from, starts from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will turn to bitterness. Bitterness will turn to wrath. Wrath will turn to anger. And if it's not dealt with, it will continue to progress. Notice 31, verse 31 again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is a loud noise. It's an unseemly noise. It carries the idea that you may not say words yet, but you are so angry about the situation that you slam doors, you bang on things, you slam dishes in there. It's almost like, what's the matter with you? Nothing. You're trying to let everyone know that you're mad without saying you're mad. That just at the word, just at the phrase, the person's name is enough for your countenance to change. Enough for you to go ahead and just and start making an unseemly noise around you. You're letting everyone know you are upset without actually saying it. It's that idea of clamor, that banging, that loud noise. That's how you care. Just hearing their name is enough for you to start throwing things. That's clamor. That's bitterness that has actually progressed. It started off with you just not forgiving someone for some slight, for some offense that they did to you. And it turned to bitterness, which is starting to eat away at its own container. That bitterness will turn to wrath, which is a heat inside of you. That wrath will turn to anger, where the flame is on the outside. Your countenance changed, which turns to clamor, where you're ready to throw things. You're ready to make unseemly noise and throw a fit and bang on things. If it is not taken care of, it will still progress further. Notice with me in verse number 31. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. If bitterness is not taken care of, it will progress to the place of evil speaking. The word evil carries the idea of the desire to do intentional harm to someone. So when you get to the place of evil speaking, you can't even bring yourself to say anything nice about that person. That as soon as that person or that situation is brought up, that you've progressed to the place that you just can't say anything nice. I mean, they could be winning the award for Humanitarian of the Year, and you will find something bad to say about them. You cannot bring yourself. I mean, it is a forcefulness to say something nice just to kind of be impolite. But you want to hurt them with your words. You want to hurt them by what you say. You want to strike at them. You want others to feel the same way that you do. So you're going to tell them all the bad things that that person has done because you're trying to hurt that person by getting everyone else to hate them as well. That's when you carry the idea that bitterness is destroying you from the inside. Now, sometimes this progression is very short. And sometimes it's very, very long, but it slowly eats at you and it becomes worse and worse and worse. That it starts off just by you not forgiving someone. By the way, it doesn't affect the person that offended you in the first place whatsoever. They don't care how you feel. It is you that's being destroyed. They could be right with God. They could have got everything fixed. But you're destroying your own self by that bitterness inside. It's making you where you can't enjoy things. It's making you could have the most lovely day. They say that name and your whole day is ruined. You just can't get over the fact of what that person did. You can't get over that situation. It's ruining and eating away at you. That starts with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness turns to bitterness. Bitterness turns to wrath. Wrath turns to anger. Anger turns to, clamor. Clamor turns to evil speaking. Notice in verse 31, we see the progression move on. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Now we come to the end result of bitterness. That if bitterness is not dealt with, if bitterness is not held off, if bitterness is not treated, it will progress worse. That it will start off just by you not forgiving someone, and it will slowly turn to bitterness. That bad taste in your mouth, that thing that just kind of eats at you inside. If that's not taken care of, it will turn to wrath. That's where you could feel the heat inside of you. Wrath is not taken care of, it'll turn to anger, where it actually shows on your face. Will turn to clamor. Clamor where you're banging around and you're letting everyone know you're upset. To the place of evil speaking, where you are trying to hurt that person with your words. Whether you're hurting them directly or whether you're hurting them by telling other people about how bad they are. If that is not taken care of, then it will turn to malice. Malice has the idea of with the intent to do bodily harm. It's where you want them to be hurt. Now, you may not physically hurt them, but you've imagined in their mind them falling down the stairs. You've imagined in your mind for them to get hit by a car. You've imagined that horrible things have happened to that person. That's malice, with the intent to do bodily harm. And by the way, you can get to the place where malice can actually be done physically and not done in your mind. That's why some people will finally snap and start stabbing someone or shooting someone, because that bitterness has worked in their life and it has destroyed them from the inside out. It's killed them and it's made them bad. You know, one thing that's interesting to observe for senior saints is that senior saints either go one or two directions. Either senior saints become some of the most sweetest people you'll ever meet, or they'll become one of the most bitter and horrible people to be around. It's hard to stand around some of the older. It just seems like there's no middle ground. Either they are very, very sweet or they're ultra sour. What makes the difference? One group learn to forgive and let bygones be bygones and let it go. Whereas others held on to some slight. It could have been 100 years ago, but it's built up in them. And it's made it where it's affected every area of their life. And it's made it so that way people can't even stand to be around them because that bitterness has destroyed them. This is what bitterness does. Bitterness is a poison that will destroy its own container. It is something that is very dangerous. It is something that will kill you in the long run. It will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your life. It will drive you to do things that you never thought you would do. Now, we understand that different range of time. We understand married couples can go through all of these stages in 0 to 60, right? You just give it a second and you're ready to start hurting them with their words. You're ready in your mind to stir. We understand that we can do that with friendships, relationships. But it also can take very long and that bitterness to start working and working and working and working. So you say, how do we stop this? How do we stop bitterness? How do we stop it? How do we prevent it? Well, that's a good question. And what we see here is the answer is in verse number 32. And it says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How do we stop bitterness and how do we prevent bitterness? By forgiving. Remember that bitterness starts with unforgiveness. So the answer is to learn to forgive. Now, let's define our terms. What does it mean to forgive? The Bible says here that we are to forgive one another as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. So how has God forgiven us for Christ's sake? Well, first of all, God forgave us fully. God forgave us fully. What does that mean? That means that God forgave us for everything. That when you go up to heaven, or even now, God says, you know what, I'll forgive you for this, but I'll never forgive you for this. You understand, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He forgave you for all of it. There was nothing He did not forgive you for. So if we are going to forgive others as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake, we must forgive people fully. That means we have to forgive people for everything they have done against us. No holding back. We've actually heard people say, and you've heard it too, where people say, yeah, I'll forgive you for this, but I'll never forgive you for this. That's not true forgiveness. You either forgive them for all of it, or you haven't forgiven them at all. You have to forgive them fully, because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us fully. How else has God, for Christ's sake, forgiven us? Not only has He forgiven us fully, but He has also forgiven us frankly. I have to alliterate it, so I had to come up with an F word right there. So, and frankly just means honestly. Aren't you glad that when God forgave us, He meant it? He didn't say, hey, I see you're at the gates of heaven. I know I told you I forgave you, but psych. That's an old 80s word, right? That means opposite of. That He said, when I forgave you, He meant it. You understand, if we forgive others, we have to be honest about it. You can't just say, well, I forgive you and not mean it. That's not forgiveness. Just saying the words is not. You have to honestly forgive them. If we're going to forgive others as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake, we have to forgive them fully and we have to forgive them frankly or honestly. How else has God for Christ's sake forgiven us? Not only did He forgive us fully, not only did He forgive us frankly, but He also forgave us freely. That God for Christ's sake has forgiven us freely. What does that mean? That means there's no strings attached. How many times have we heard someone said, I'll forgive you for this if you do this for me? That's not freely. That's exchange. That's not a gift. God forgave us freely. We didn't have to do anything to get our salvation. God offered it to us as a free gift. And if we're going to forgive others, they don't have to do anything to earn our forgiveness. That's a key there. People don't have to earn your forgiveness. And by the way, they don't have to ask you for forgiveness for you to forgive them. I know a lot of bitter people that said, I'd forgive them if they would just come and apologize. Nope. God forgave us freely. Even if they never come up to you, you must forgive them. You have to forgive them. Even if they never come up to you, You can't hold that in because it will destroy you from the inside out. You must forgive them freely. It means no strings attached. It means even if they don't come to you, you forgive them. If they never apologize, you must forgive them. It's something you offer freely. It is something you do, not for them, but for your own sake. Again, some people can be bitter at another person, and that other person has no clue that they've even offended that person. We have to offer it freely, whether they ask for it or not, for our own sake, so we are not destroyed by bitterness. How else has God, for Christ's sake, forgiven us? That God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us fully. He forgave us frankly or honestly. He forgave us freely. Something else about that God's forgiveness is that He forgot it. You understand that the Bible talks about that when God forgave us and we ask Christ for forgiveness, He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. If you took a globe and you went and started to spin the globe and went east, 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 you understand you'll never hit west. Those are two places that never hit. The Bible says that He has buried our sins in the deepest sea. You understand that there are some parts of the sea that is deeper than Mount Everest. Meaning that if you were to take all of Mount Everest and dump it into the sea, you wouldn't even see Mount Everest. It'd still be buried under miles of water. You understand that God has buried our sin and put it so far away from Him. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means that if you went to God and said, God, I asked You for forgiveness the other day about something I did. And He goes, you did what? He forgot it. It's put away. It's set aside. He'll never bring it back up to you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't bring up our past and bring it back up to us? Now you say, well, there's a problem there, preacher. I don't have a divine forgetter like God has. Yes, but we do have the principle that if you've truly forgiven someone, you can never bring it up ever again. You said, but that's good ammunition. No, that's not forgiveness if you're keeping it for ammunition. You can never bring it up ever again. Let's define our terms. Not only in a verbal conversation, but in your mind. You understand that's hard, but you have to purposely forgive. Let me give an example. Let's say that I have bitterness towards someone. I can't believe that person did that. And every time that I think about that person, that situation comes back up. What I have to do in my mind is I have to say, stop. I've forgiven them. I can't think about this anymore. I have to set it aside. I have to put that thought in captivity. I have to put it there. I cannot think about it anymore. I cannot hold it against them. You have to purposely, on purpose in your mind, not to think about that situation. Otherwise, you start thinking about that situation, it rolls out of control more and more. That's how the bitterness got there in the first place, is you kept taking that situation and mulling it over and mulling it over. If you truly forgive them, you cannot do that. You can't even hold it against them in your own mind. Now, that is hard. And let me tell you, you can't do it of yourself. It takes the grace of God. That's where you have to depend on God. That's where you have to say, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. You understand that you can't bring that up ever again. You can't bring it up ever again. You say, preacher, that is so hard. You don't understand what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. You have to forgive them. You say, preacher, that is so hard. I keep thinking about it. Let me tell you this, how to fix that. All right, you guys ready? How do you fix that? You be a blessing to them. You say, what? Get them a gift. And by the way, do it anonymously so that way they don't know who it came from. You say, but they'll never know it came from me. Yeah, but it'll do you a world of good. You find out how to be a blessing to them, and you do that to them anonymously. You seek out of your way. If you have a problem in your mind with bitterness, that you're saying, I'm trying to forgive them. I just can't get over that. This person has done me wrong. And you know how you overcome that? Find a way to be a blessing to them. Do it anonymously. Now, I know that every time I preach this, sometimes I'm in danger of getting gifts anonymously for myself. But, you know, you understand, this is one way. If you seek to be a blessing to someone, you can't curse them in the same breath. If you go out purposely to try to help someone, it is very hard for you to curse them and to be mad at them when you are purposely trying to be a blessing to them. You understand that there are some things that you're going to have to go out of your way for to make sure that in your mind, you're no longer holding against them. You say, what happens if I give them a gift and it still bothers me? Give them a better gift. You keep doing it. You keep doing, finding ways to be a blessing until it no longer bothers you. You understand? You start praying for them. You say, God, Lord, help them to be the best person they can. You help bless them. Lord, reward them. You say, but they don't deserve rewarding. Yeah, we're not talking about if they deserve it. We're trying to say how to help yourself so you don't have that poison that's eating away inside. I understand this is contrary to what the world teaches, because the world teaches you an eye for an eye. Let's get even. Let's show them. This is only comes by the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us. This is something that is unnatural. But do you understand that we as Christians, this bitterness will hold us back in our Christian life. This bitterness will keep us from getting close to God. This bitterness will keep us from advancing forward. This bitterness will hold back revival. This bitterness quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. Notice with me verse 29. Remember, or verse 30 rather. Notice the context. Verse 31 and 32 is talking about bitterness. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let bitterness, and it goes on and explains. Do you understand that this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit deals with our actions towards other people? And that when we, in our mind, have a desire to hurt other Christians, we hurt the Holy Spirit. When we in our mind keep bringing up this situation, especially since God forgave us of so much, I guarantee that person who offended you has not offended God as much as, or that person who offended you is nowhere near the amount of times you've offended God with your actions. And yet God forgave you. God forgave you from all your foolishness, all of your rebellion, all of your sin. That little offense that they did is nothing compared to what God has forgiven you for. That's why it hurts God when we refuse to forgive, because He forgave us freely and openly. And yet when we refuse to forgive, that's an insult to God. After all, He's forgiven us for. You understand this subject of bitterness is such an important subject because every single Christian will deal with bitterness from time to time. Every single one of us can be offended because we're not looking at God and we keep our eyes on a situation. We look at a person and then we keep thinking about it over and over, and that bitterness will destroy us. There are Christians who've been saved forever serving God who leave the ministry and leave church because of bitterness in their life. You understand that if we're going to have unity in the church, we have to live with one another. We have to work beside one another. And if someone starts getting bitterness for one another, instead of looking to the Lord, they're looking at that situation. That bitterness will destroy them and it will affect others in the church. It's how Satan will cause disunity. And sometimes it will be over the silliest things. Like we brought up this morning, we know of a church that split because of how they cut the pickles. That there were some that decided to cut the pickles in half, and some that said you have to cut pickles in quarters. And again, other stuff is going on, but they decided to fight for the pickles, and the church split because of the pickles. You say, how does that happen? Because there was unforgiveness somewhere. There's someone with bitterness who is refusing to let it go, and it's eating them up, and it's destroying them. And because of that, it also destroyed a church. Bitterness will destroy its own container. It is a deadly poison that sometimes it works slow and sometimes it works quick. But every single Christian will have to deal with that offense. The pastor offended me. He didn't shake my hand. Well, that other person, they looked at me wrong. That person doesn't like me. That person wore the same outfit as me. You know, whatever the offense, we're going to have to deal with it from time to time. That person said something they shouldn't have, and maybe they shouldn't have. Can you forgive them? Can you let it go? We have to, for our sake. You said they don't deserve my forgiveness. We're not talking about them. We're talking about saving you from bitterness, destroying you. Maybe, perhaps, tonight you have some bitterness. Maybe you know that if, as soon as I say that name, that subject, you could feel the temperature inside of you rise. That if I said that name, you may be at the face thing where your face will actually change if I say that face, where they push that button. Have you ever had a bruise that you just couldn't help touch and it hurts and you just... That's what that bitterness will do. So you touch it and immediately get a reaction from it. Bitterness will destroy you. And it's something that has to be dealt with. And so let me ask you tonight, dear friend, how much poison do you have in your system? How much bitterness has been built up? How much bitterness needs to be purged? Now, I know it's not as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me. I understand that it's a process if you have that root of bitterness in there. It's something you're going to have to work at. Maybe there are some of you that are still at the early stages of bitterness. Let me tell you, forgive early, forgive often. Maybe some of you say, I'm currently free of bitterness. Let me tell you, an offense is going to come and you're going to have to put this into practice. Every single one are going to have to do this. This is a lesson that could last you for the rest of your life and could help you for the rest of your life if you allow it. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.